This is Laura Dierda with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Dr. Stefan Kreutzer, owner and founder of Innovate Orthopedics in Houston. Dr. Kreutzer, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Before we dive into the questions, could you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your practice?
Yeah, so I'm an orthopedic surgeon in Houston, and I perform approximately 1,000 total joints a year, really a strong focus on hip and knee replacement and revision surgery. Been in private practice for a while, and then for about 4 years, I was part of an employed model here at UT Physicians in Houston. And during that time, just kind of was concerned of where healthcare was going, did a lot of reading about healthcare economics. A lot of my colleagues were starting to move surgeries from the hospital to the ASC, and so I felt the need to sort of rekindle my belief in healthcare and left the employed model and started Innovate. And really the focus was to figure out a way on how to partner with the stakeholders to move surgical cases out of the hospital into the ASC, total joints, revisions and spines and things like that. And the main focus is to reduce healthcare cost and maintain great quality, maybe even exceed quality, because we can control all aspects of care.
Fantastic. Well, I'm excited to talk with you more in depth about some of the topics that you just brought up as well. My first question is, what are your top three priorities for 2021? I know this past year was a crazy year in many respects. And so I'm wondering, when you're looking ahead, what are the top things that you're looking forward to?
Yeah, indeed, it was a crazy year. We survived fine, and we had a lot of good moments despite the pandemic. But really the focus on 2021 for us is to further figure out strategies and models that can support the independent physician. I think the trend towards employment in this country is dangerous, and from a health economic standpoint, it certainly increases healthcare cost. And the reason why physicians go into the employed model is because it's so challenging to maintain independence, because the independent physician just doesn't have any leverage. So we really want to focus on strategies and models to either create groups or create certain ways where we can have the benefit of being employed, but really maintain private practice. The second focus is the model that we've actually created at Innovate has been very successful, and we have developed some of these relationships and getting ahead of it. But we're really not relevant unless we grow. So the main focus in 2021 in that area is to grow. We want to grow Innovate where we are here in Houston, maybe add 2 or 3 sites in this Houston market, and hopefully also go outside of the state of Texas, outside of Houston, to take the platform that we've developed and that we've put together to grow. And then the last thing, which I think is very critical, is to the thought of alignment of incentives is in the value-based world. We want to be rewarded for doing good, and we want to be rewarded for reducing healthcare costs. And so in a value-based world where you partner with payers, whether it's a day of surgery bundle, whether it's a 90-day prospective bundle, even when it's a retrospective bundle, that really incentivizes you to think of where you send that patient for their care, because a reduction in cost may benefit you financially, but a complication may hurt you financially. So you have to weigh the benefits and risks of thinking that way. And, you know, we always say the most expensive tool in healthcare is the physician's pen. And if we can incentivize physicians to think about what they sign and where they send their patients, I think we can significantly reduce healthcare costs.
Got it. That makes sense. And it's really interesting to think about. I have 2 quick follow-up questions here. And first being, you know, in looking at your growth and adding sites, particularly initially in the Houston area, are you also aiming to add physicians, or is it more about being able to have locations that you would, you know, be working with your current group in, making sure they're populated and just being closer to different communities around the Houston area?
Yeah, so we want to add physicians. We want to add specialties. Right now, we have a strong focus on sports and total joints. We want to add spine. We want to add pain management. We have an extremely successful PT program. We want to expand in that area as well, and add value to the community in Houston. Now, a lot of patients will be willing to travel, you know, across town to see a physician for whom they need a surgery. But for physical therapy, they may not be willing to travel across town. So to have outside clinics and sites where they can, where we can further maintain that quality that we feel that we have obtained, I think will be very helpful for the community and for Houston as a whole.
Got it. That makes sense. And then secondly, in looking at, you know, the aligned incentives and really the value-based payments and some of the bundle payment opportunities that have been coming along, is that something that you're seeing from payers, or is it more something that, you know, you're driving for potential larger employers or others in the market that, you know, would be interested in really thinking about the value and some of the costs associated with care?
Yeah, what we currently have achieved is with payers. Some payers are very interested in that. Other payers are not, which is quite interesting. You would think that all the payers would be sort of on the same page and say, look, we need to reduce healthcare costs. But that, again, the market forces in healthcare are so different than the market forces in any other business, because the end user doesn't pay for the care. They only pay for the copay and the coinsurance. And so they're really not incentivized to reduce costs. You know, some insurance have a large book of business of self-insured business, and so they have different needs financially than, let's say, Blue Cross Blue Shield that has a lot of people from the Obama marketplace. And so each payer has sort of their different strategy. We've had great luck with Aetna and Blue Cross Blue Shield of entering value-based contracts. Had a little bit less luck with some of the other payers, but we keep focusing. We keep trying to develop relationships, because you need that one person that seems to think that this is a good thing and then takes the ball and run with it. The next step, of course, is just what you brought up very astutely, is to go directly to the payer, because they really don't know what they're paying, especially if they're self-insured. They have a very poor understanding what their cost is. And so if we can create some relationships with some of the big companies, I think that would even further reduce the healthcare costs for these particular people, especially now after the pandemic. Everybody's looking at reducing cost. So I think we're in a good place to have those conversations with these companies.
Got it. That makes sense. Fantastic. Well, I'm wondering next, you know, how do you see the ASC industry changing over the next 3 years?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, and I thought about that a lot, because it's difficult to answer. I think there are the challenges with the current ASC model with physician ownership is that there's not a really good partnership to support the private practice physician. And so I really hope that in the future, the ASC will be part of this movement towards supporting the private practice physician, because that's what needs to happen. And it's in the ASC's best interest, because if you're employed, you can't have ownership in ASC. So you really need to support the private practice. I don't know if that's what's going to happen in the ASC model. I think ASCs are going to continue to do what they're doing, and it's to, you know, try to build ASCs and buy defunct ASCs and try to turn them around and things like that. I don't know what's going to happen to the out-of-network model. We've been saying for 10 years that that's going to go away, but it seems to not be going away, which we are vehemently opposed to the out-of-network model. But it's going to be very interesting to see. Now, one thing I'm sure is that the people that have the partnership with the physicians that are willing to move surgical-based care, such as total joints and spine, to the ASC will financially be very, very strong. But it requires a physician partnership. It requires a physician leadership, because ultimately they are the person that has the patient, that is focused on quality, to achieve these migrations of these cases. Because after all, we do take the Hippocratic Oath and say, first, do no harm. So if we do a total joint in an ASC and the patient has a bad outcome, that really doesn't help anybody.
Absolutely. I think that makes a lot of sense. And my final question here is, what are you most excited about today and what makes you nervous?
What I'm most excited about is to grow what we have been able to do at Innovate. We have now currently done 700 total joints in a year and a half. We've had zero infections. We have two robotic platforms, which no other hospital institution even has in the Houston market. We've really focused on driving patient quality. We have an average length of stay of 6 hours, and we've only had only four patients have had to spend the night. So I'm really excited about expanding that platform and growing that platform in the future, and really driving robotics in this era. What I'm most concerned about is the continuation of the marginalization of physicians by big corporation. When we call an insurance company, we want to try to find a partnership. We don't get a phone call back. So, after all, we are the person that sees the patient. We are the person that sees the patient in clinic and has the and are involved in the care of the patient. But we continue to get marginalized by big corporations, whether that's the big insurance companies that we're just a necessary, partner, and it's all about rates and not about how to pay us adequately, whether it's the large hospital systems that try to drown us out in private practice and make it so difficult that we have to become an employed model. And with the enormous amount of spend from the government with these packages, which I'm neither for or against. I think there has to be things done, but I'm a little worried that the payback is going to have to come from somewhere. And is it going to come from Medicare, which then impacts all of our rates and further reduces our reimbursement in private practice, where we are then forced into employment?
Interesting, interesting. Yeah, I think all of those things that you mentioned in terms of, how some of the big companies, insurance companies especially, marginalizing physicians and some of the opportunities, that you may not have because you're not as much part of a larger organization or corporation and health system, are really interesting. And then just to think about the economics of healthcare and where that fits into the overall budget for the U.S. is just really interesting to think about, and will definitely be things that we'll have to keep an eye on for the future.
I very much agree. I mean, we spend 18% of GDP on healthcare, and the second highest country is Switzerland at 11% of GDP. So that delta is an enormous amount of money, and it's just not sustainable. And unless we figure out how to break down these barriers and everybody's trying to protect their silos, and we work in these silos, we're going to continue to increase healthcare costs. And it's just, we have to, because it's unsustainable.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Dr. Kreutzer, thank you so much for joining us today on the podcast. This has been a really fascinating discussion, and I look forward to connecting with you again in the future.
Great. Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.